Hello and welcome to A Health Podyssey. I'm your host, Alan Weil. Healthcare provided by teams and integrated systems of care are often held up as the ideal mechanisms for improving patient care and outcomes, and as the appropriate response to the fragmentation and excessive specialization that permeate the American healthcare system. Nowhere would these concepts seem to make more sense than in the domain of perinatal mental health, which is the focus of the entire April 2024 issue of Health Affairs. After all, pregnancy from the prenatal period all the way through postpartum is a time of frequent healthcare visits. Seems like it would be an opportune time to address mental health issues that arise during that period. Yet, as with most things in healthcare, it's just not so simple. So what are the opportunities for and the barriers to integrating mental and physical health in prenatal care? That's the topic of today's episode of A Health Podyssey. I'm here with Jessica Harrison, a postdoctoral research fellow at the University of California, San Francisco. Dr. Harrison published a paper in the April 2024 issue of Health Affairs exploring the integration of mental health in perinatal care through a series of interviews with frontline professionals. She found some important challenges to achieving this goal. We'll discuss them and their implications in today's episode. Dr. Harrison, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
This is such a great topic because you really get into the nitty-gritty of the difference between sort of the image people would like to have of healthcare and what it actually takes to achieve it. Let's just start with sort of the basics. Why would you want to integrate mental health needs into perinatal care and have providers sort of addressing these issues simultaneously?
Yeah, I think just as you mentioned in the beginning, it's a really logical, on its face, it's a logical solution to this quandary, right? This is the first time often people are interfacing with healthcare in their lives, and they're doing a lot of it over the course of pregnancy and birth. And so I think given perinatal healthcare in the United States is entrenched in the medical model, right? This is the structure of care we have. It's just what we are primed to do. I also think we are increasingly talking about perinatal mental health. We're really trying to foreground this as an issue through pregnancy and the postpartum period. And so nurse midwives and obstetricians who are providing care are really becoming much more attuned to this and trying to, you know, join the call to address.
So that's really interesting, and I'm glad you sort of start us here, which is as the attention paid to mental health begins to increase, clinicians who are not primarily mental health clinicians are saying, what's my role in this? And if we're going to pay better attention, you know, what do we need to do differently? And so it's one thing to say we want to do more, and then it's another thing to actually figure out how to do it. Before we get into some of your findings, I think it's helpful to understand how you gathered data. This is an empirical piece. And what was your way of trying to understand what the opportunities and barriers are here?
Sure. So I'm a qualitative social scientist. I'm primarily interested in investigating the social world of health and medicine. And this includes, from my perspective, questioning the things that we tend to take for granted as true or fixed, such as how we organize healthcare, how we think about providing care for people. And in this case, I'm looking specifically in the perinatal period. So I approached this as an ethnographer, and my original study design was disrupted by COVID. I had about a 6-month period initially of really getting into a large perinatal healthcare organization in my community and meant to and was starting to observe clinic operations, interactions between different clinician types, have access to patients in this setting, and so on and so forth. But then very quickly, COVID, you know, shut the door on all of that. And so the majority of my research is ethnographic observations of one mental health team that was integrated in this large organization. And most of those observations were virtual. They were case consultation meetings, administrative meetings, some team retreats that were happening with the mental health team in this organization. But I also interviewed other mental health clinicians who were embedded in other perinatal healthcare organizations. And I interviewed nurse midwives and obstetricians, as well as pregnant and postpartum people.
This is great. It comes through even more clearly than in the paper, what an endeavor it was. And what I want to do as we start talking about the findings is sort of think about the different dimensions in the, you describe people who would primarily be considered physical health providers, traditional perinatal health providers, and then of course the mental health providers, and each of them come at this notion of integration from a different perspective. So let's just dive into some of the things you found, and I'm really open to you starting wherever you want to. But I think some of the barriers to integration that were raised by the clinicians were particularly interesting. So maybe if you could start with a few of those and we'll tease them out.
Sure. So this aspect of my work is really building off of others' research, the part specifically about nurse midwives and obstetricians who are facing this call to provide mental health screening in their care and hopefully offer referrals or some form of care, right? That's often where things get really sticky for folks. But what I found, along with others, is that these clinicians don't have enough time in the clinical encounter. Time is the biggest piece here. This is especially significant given the nuanced nature of mental health. It's not easily measurable and it's not quickly addressed. So these clinicians are really overwhelmed by their changing role, right? They're invested in it and also they're really feeling like their hands are tied and they don't necessarily know how to cope with this expanding scope of their practice in a rigid system that isn't really keeping pace with these changing expectations. The second thing that they talked a lot about is fear. Fear is my framing. That was really kind of came through for me. So raising awareness about mental health is positive. We're happy to see this happening. I'm glad that we're talking more about mental health in the perinatal period, but there's also been an emphasis on pathology and severity of mental health issues in the perinatal period. And we have to keep in mind that when we're talking to or with nurse midwives and obstetricians, they're already operating in a paradigm of risk, right? The way we've organized perinatal healthcare in the United States, the overtone of it is that pregnancy is risky and needs to be managed. And so now we're bringing mental health into that paradigm. And I think it creates some new tensions, right? Some new territory in this existing paradigm of risk, a new territory of risk. And so that, I would say, combined with historical mental health stigma, a lack of training on holistic health, right, and how all of this is sort of interplaying, right, physical health, mental health, it means that providers are often scared and hesitant when it comes to facing their patients' mental health. Lastly, I would say they're attempting to provide care in a mind-body dualistic context, right, where we're really siloing health issues, and an extremely fragmented system that's persistently under-resourced. So they often don't know or don't have access to options for care, right? So if they do identify a mental health need in a patient, then they turn to try to figure out where do we go from here, and they either don't know or they don't have access to anything.
I was really struck in the paper by the reference to, you know, the metaphor of Pandora's box, this notion that, you know, I'm trained in this area, but now if I open the door to mental health, which I know I should, I don't know what's going to happen when I open that box. And it could be something very simple, but in many instances, it won't be. And I'm out beyond my own training, but I also don't want to give people false promise that because I've said that this is an important topic to address, that I actually have the resources to do so. I found that really sort of discouraging, but actually very evocative as well.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. They feel really stuck between this place of wanting to do this work and worrying that they're either going to miss something or they're not going to be able to face the thing that's coming out of Pandora's box. And the Pandora's box, that was their language, right? A number of my research participants said, I feel like I'm opening Pandora's box.
I was also interested in this notion of expertise, not just in treatment, but even in diagnosis, that figuring out what's the next step. So I open the door and I get a hint that there's something here to be addressed, but then I have to make a decision. What do I recommend happen next? Is this something I try to manage myself? Is this something I refer out? And I feel like I read in the paper a lot of anxiety about sort of getting that wrong. Is that a fair characterization?
That's absolutely fair. And I think here it's a little idiosyncratic because every clinician is different, right? There are some commonalities, some shared experiences here, but I talked with clinicians who had a pretty high level of confidence and interest in going here into this terrain, and then others who just had a pretty hard boundary and felt like I can't do it because it doesn't feel safe for me. I just don't feel like I have the bandwidth or the skills to do it. So I think that's important to note, right? That there's clinician variability here. One of the things that came out of my research for me is this question about what constitutes mental health, a mental health need? What is a mental health crisis? And if you talk to mental health clinicians, they're going to tell you something a bit different than what the nurse midwives or the obstetricians are experiencing. And that, you know, that's a big feature in my paper, is this difference between clinician type. And so I don't have a great answer to that question, what constitutes a mental health need or a mental health crisis. I think, though, I bring it up because it is one of the puzzles we as a community really need to be centering and thinking about together. It's a lot to ask one provider to be able to do a whole host of things, right? Especially given the structural limitations that we're facing here. And at the same time, I really want to underscore that I think nurse midwives and obstetricians have a lot more to offer relationally and in their own skill set than they even understand at this point. And that those things have direct impact on their patients' mental health and well-being. I think there's a lot of opportunity here for us to be even just reconsidering how we define mental health, how we think about mental health in the perinatal period in order to improve things for the clinicians as well as for their patients.
Well, I'm glad you brought up this topic, which also stood out to me in the paper about the difference of what's a crisis. I want to explore with you some more the view from the side of the mental health practitioners, clinicians. We'll move into that topic after we take a short break. And we're back. I'm speaking with Dr. Jessica Harrison about integrating mental health into perinatal care. We spent much of the first portion of our discussion focusing on the medical side and the views of clinicians and how they feel and what limitations they experience related to trying to address mental health issues as they arise. But you also spoke with the mental health clinicians and what barriers they faced. And before we took a break, you alluded to something that really stood out to me in the paper, which is the differing definitions of what's a crisis in mental health. And this seems to me, again, to be an area where if you ask people to practice holistically and to treat the whole patient, you're by definition asking them to make judgments in areas that are not the focus of their daily work. So let's bring in the voice of the mental health clinicians. Just say, if you could, as we get started on this topic, you know, sort of how they experience being part of a team that's designed to make sure that mental health issues are addressed as part of perinatal care.
I want to preface answering that question by saying that I found, you know, this idea of team-based care suggests that it's inherently collaborative and that the clinicians have space in their work day to do that effectively, and they really don't. What I can say is that I found the nurse midwives and obstetricians' work lives are notably improved when they have on-site access to mental health clinicians. It's a great relief to them to have direct access to this care. And most of my nurse, midwife, and obstetrician participants talked about this really positively, right? That they endorse integrated mental health care. However, we're bringing them in to hopefully improve access to patient care and to address this need and alleviate that sort of pinch that nurse, midwives, and obstetricians are feeling, right? They're having to do a lot of educating with their colleagues about what they do, doing a lot of educating about what is mental health, what psychosocial needs look like, what's an appropriate referral, right? They're doing the developing of referral protocols. They're doing a lot of the pursuing of their nurse, midwife, and obstetrician colleagues in order to coordinate care and so on, right? So they find themselves in this role. The mental health teams were also quite administratively burdened due to the fragmentation of our payer system. They're having to navigate Medicaid payers, private insurance payers, grant funding, all of these things. With one exception, I did interview some clinicians who were part of an integrated program that was fully funded by the organization, but that's an outlier. Most of these teams relied on billable services and some external grant funding in order to do their program. So it was a lot to manage, and the mental health team themselves was typically the one doing the managing of that. They also are understaffed, right? We know that there's a really high need here for care and for their services, and the demand far exceeded what they could offer on their small teams. They're also uniquely positioned in these healthcare institutions where the medical model is the organizing force. So they are outsiders, typically, and see themselves as pretty low in the professional hierarchy of the medical model. And at the same time, they're seen by their colleagues as content experts, right, as I've been talking about, who can alleviate the burdens when it comes to their patients' psychosocial needs. So this really leads to a tension for these clinicians who felt like they had to say yes all the time to their nurse, midwife, and obstetrician colleagues, while at the same time, they felt misused or asked to address patient needs that really weren't in their scope of practice or for which they didn't have good solutions either, right? Mental health clinicians don't have any more access to housing, for example, than a nurse, midwife, or an obstetrician does, right? So all that to say, you know, I think bringing these mental health teams into a structure of care that really is not well suited to resource them was really challenging. I think one other thing I want to note about that is that mental health clinicians have their own set of ethical standards and philosophical approaches to care that tended to be compromised by the high demand for their services within the structure of perinatal healthcare. So in the time that I was doing this research, I saw a fair amount of turnover on mental health teams over the course of my study because of all of these tensions that I'm naming.
So this is so important and interesting to have this insight around the, if you will, intra-team dynamics, as well as the superstructure over the team that affects those dynamics. And this, you know, the image that came into my mind is during COVID, all of this tremendous respect we said we had for frontline workers, and yet, you know, they continued to be poorly paid and put at risk of their own health, even as we said, you're so important, but we didn't treat them that way. And it sounds like in this instance, you're describing a very similar dynamic. This is the relief valve and the experts, but that just solves a problem for me because I just transfer the problem to you, whether you actually have the resources or not to address it. And that mismatch, to say it's a problem, is an understatement. It's also a source of real professional conflict inside a person who wants to behave professionally, is what I'm trying to capture there.
Yep, that's exactly right.
As we come to a close in our conversation, I mean, it's very hard to summarize work like this because it's so rich in the details, part of why I'm enjoying this conversation so much. But I am curious, there has, as you noted, your work builds on that of others. There is constant reference, although it's a little quieter these days than it might have been 5 or 10 years ago, to the importance of care being delivered by teams. And as we discussed at the very outset, the heightened attention to mental health during the perinatal period is in and of itself a positive step. So given that directionally that's probably where we want to go, but also given what you and others have learned, what would you sort of advise someone to say if, or to do if they said, hey, let's build a team-based approach to this? What would your reaction be?
Well, in my paper, I talk specifically about ways the system we have can better address patients' and clinicians' needs. And I really want to just take a minute to say that I'm not just concerned about patient outcomes. I'm also concerned with clinicians' well-being. And I see these things as interconnected, right? And so it's one of the reasons I'm tending to these dynamics and really trying to underscore, right, what's happening for everybody involved, right? So I just wanted to make a note of that. And I'm not going to talk in detail about the kind of incremental things that we can do in the system because I laid that out on my paper. I really want to use this opportunity to say that I don't necessarily believe the predominant model of perinatal healthcare is well suited or even the best place for people to get their multifaceted health needs met in this period of life. I think it's crucial that we confront mind-body dualism and instead really consider what holistic perinatal healthcare looks like and how we can better address, right, and come at it from that angle. I think this can include elevating community midwifery care, community health workers, peer support models, and so on. There are a lot of great ideas, right, that are thinking outside of the box here. It's also going to be really difficult for us to improve perinatal health outcomes if we're not getting to the root of issues. I think in the United States, we persistently look to the healthcare system to address myriad issues that the healthcare system really is not well equipped to address. And so when it comes to perinatal health outcomes, right, we need to look more upstream. We need to think bigger. And I really want us to galvanize around some of these issues and think about them as directly tied to perinatal mental health. So for example, implementing generous family leave at the federal level, right? Understanding how financial stability, access to quality childcare, right? These things have great bearing on health outcomes. Addressing, confronting structural racism and gender-based oppression as it relates to perinatal mental health. I want to emphasize how harms like family separation and obstetric violence disproportionately affect Black and Indigenous communities and impact the perinatal mental health of people in these communities, right? So if we're persistent about resourcing in the direction of healthcare, I think we're missing a whole piece of this story. And that's really where I want to encourage us to be looking in addition.
I appreciate that lens. And I want to take us back to something you said at the very beginning, which was about the risk framing of the medical side of this, that if all we do is then apply risk framing to the mental health side of it, because that's the framework of the entire care system, then there is no foundation for building from what strengths and resources exist. It's purely one of sort of intervention to try to reduce, you know, intervene in the instance of a crisis, as opposed to strengthen the overall mental health of the people involved in the system and think about what resources outside of healthcare might be brought to bear to do that. So it's a yes and, where I think your broader lens, actually focusing back on where you started, also suggests that it's really in the very basic definition of what we think of perinatal care as being that are the roots of some of the problems that you've described so well in your paper. Well, Dr. Harrison, it's been so great to talk to you, and I appreciate the nuance and insight provided by this. It's a level of understanding that simply can't be achieved through any other form of data collection, and I appreciate how you collected and shared the data and shared the change you had to make as COVID came and made your original plans impossible to achieve. But despite that setback, you've given us a tremendous amount to think about and a tremendous amount to aim for as we try to improve care and move beyond sort of the what seem like very simplistic approaches like, oh, let's just create a team. So for all of that, I thank you. And I thank you today for being my guest on Health Policy.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, I hope you'll tell a friend about the Health Policy.